If you have your printout this morning, you'll notice Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. I hope you have something to write with. We have notes that are to be added as we go. The first note I want you to make is this. Severity of the judgments are increasing. Severity of the judgments that are coming from God are increasing. Here's another note. The death toll during the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation will be more than half of the world's population. I'll reread that. The death toll during the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period will be more than half of the world's population. Let's begin reading verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a solitary voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which stands before God, they are in the presence of God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels. Underline those two words, four angels. These four angels are the leaders of the invading host. They are fallen angels who are kept bound until the divinely appointed time to perform as agents of God's wrath. So God says, release these four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the appointed hour and day and month and year. Underline the word appointed and make this note, if you will. These four angels at this very moment as I stand in front of you are in a state of readiness. Here also is a reminder of divine providence. God's actions are never accidental. God's actions are never accidental. God's actions are always planned and extremely precise. All the forces of history are under His sovereign control. So He says, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the appointed hour. Who has appointed this hour and day and year? It is God Himself. So it is something that Satan and evil cannot stop in any way, nor can mankind stop in any way. They were released to kill, underline the word kill. This judgment will bring physical death. They will kill a third of mankind, underline the word mankind. It refers to all earth dwellers, which are the unrepentant, who are still rebellious against Almighty God. Let's look at the introduction as we continue. At the sounding of the fifth trumpet, we witness the opening of the abyss and the release of tormenting demons swarming the earth like locusts, driving people mad. Then at the blast of the sixth trumpet, John described four angels of death who had been held captive near the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq. When they were released, all of the forces of hell broke loose across the face of the earth. Step by grueling step, the restraining grace of God. Underline the grace of God. And I'm going to ask you a question. You already know the answer. How are you saved? The Scripture says, by grace through faith are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But listening to what has happened to the grace of God. The grace of God, the restraining grace of God, was what? Was removed from the world. It is diminishing. It is going down. Without the grace of God operative in your life, you cannot be saved. So the restraining grace of God was removed from the world, allowing Satan, his demons, and sinful humans to destroy the earth and each other. We shouldn't be surprised that much of the book of Revelation seems to center on Israel and its surrounding nations. In fact, for nearly the last 100 years, many Bible students have viewed the Middle East as a ticking time bomb ready to explode and move the whole world into the end times at any moment. I was listening to Putin and the head man from China. They were talking, and the subject was very shocking, yet it shouldn't have been. I've read it in the Bible. When you have an evil axis, you can only have one ruler. So they're trying to decide who's going to be the one ruler that is going to rule this evil axis. You and I know that the Antichrist is going to come upon the scene at the moment that God allows him to do that and calls him forth. When that happens, he is the one who is going to be the designated ruler of all that is not of God. He is going to be the Antichrist. Well, here's the question. Are the times and seasons of the end in God's hands alone? The answer is absolutely yes. Now, these four angels, are they bad angels? The answer is yes. These are bad angels because they are bound and are the leaders of an army, get this if you can, of 200 million infernal, devilish, hellish, fiendish cavalry. And here's the point. The release of these four bad angels, they have fallen out of favor with God, will follow God's timetable. They cannot move their human puppet rulers to action until the exact moment that God allows. Though they serve their master, who is Satan, they cannot act apart from the sovereign permission of God. Remember, it is God who has planned everything. Here's a question. When was everything planned? You should know the answer. In eternity past. Let's go to the top of page 2. Now, never think that life is merely a series of haphazard events tossed into the air by blind fate for us to catch or dodge. Let's look at Romans 8:28. Where does it fit in all of this? And we know with great confidence. Where do you get great confidence in reference to the living God? You get it from the Word of the living God. And we know as students of the Word of the living God, which gives us the confidence that is needed, that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things. Underline the word all and write this note. There is no such thing as luck, fate, or chance in the life of the believer. I'll repeat that. There is no such thing as luck, fate, or chance in the life of the believer that is in Jesus Christ. And we as Christians, believers in Christ, who read and accept and apply the Word of God, and we know with divine knowledge given to us by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together. Underline those two words, work together. Work together means cooperate with one another. In other words, everything that God allows to happen in your life is going to cooperate with all things that He has allowed to happen. He causes all things to work together, to cooperate with one another. As a plan for good, underline the word good. Here's another note. The believer can view life, regardless of the circumstances, in a positive light. The believer can view life, regardless of the circumstances, in a positive light. Everything has been planned. Everything is working together for good for those, here's the condition, who love God. To those who are called according to His plan, not your plan, not my plan, and His purpose. Here's another note to be added. God works for our good, according to His purpose. And the purpose is to make us clones of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and we will soon see those things that work together for the good of God's elect. Do not, you got to get this. Let me start over. And we will soon see those things that work together for the good of God's elect do not always mean the good of everybody. When the angels of death are released at the command, at the voice of Almighty God, they go out to kill a third of humanity. Now keep up with the numbers if you can. A third of humanity will be over 2 billion people, possibly. Don't forget that by this time, a quarter of the earth's population has already been decimated. The number of troops of Calvary, underline the word Calvary. We're talking about a Calvary that is superhuman. A demonic army mounted on horses of hell. The number of troops of Calvary was twice 10,000 times 10,000, 200 million. I heard the number of them. He has been seeing things up to this point. Now he is hearing this number. And this is how I saw the horse. Underline horses. These are horses of warfare. These are agents of death and torment. And this is how I saw the horses and their riders in my vision. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth, sapphire blue, and of brimstone yellow. And the heads of the horses, write the word horse or just underline the word horse. I want you to underline it, even though we've already mentioned it, because it refers to swiftness. So you're talking about the horses. They have a swiftness, and let me add this, and you should figure it out. You won't outrun these demonic horses, I promise you. These horses look like the heads of lions. Underline the word lions. When you think of lions here, it think of the word terror, destructiveness, extremely savage. And from out of their mouths came fire. This is literal fire. And smoke, it is literal smoke. And brimstone, it is literal brimstone, which is burning sulfur. Underline the two words, burning sulfur. These are fire-breathing demonic horses with tails like snakes. And a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone that came from the mouths of the horses, for the power of the horses to do harm. It is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents. Underline the word serpents. The word serpents refers to snakes, capable of inflicting painful energy. Injury, my bad. And I have heads and have heads, and it is with them that they do harm. If you can imagine the chaos, I can't. Confusion, I can't even come close. Grief and shock that will sweep the globe at that time. Humans will completely forget previous natural disasters, military strikes and terrorist attacks in light of these unparalleled events. Considering that a fourth of humankind will be killed during the fourth seal judgment, and another third will be lost in the massive army in the sixth trumpet judgment, we can estimate that over half the world's population will be sent to meet their Creator and judge by that time. Staggering, isn't it? Question, will many people survive this onslaught? The answer is yes. What will happen to those who live through it? How will they respond? Surely they will turn to their righteous Redeemer, the Redeemer being Jesus Christ, in repentance for their wickedness, right? Look at verses 20 and 21. This is written in the Message. It has come from the Message. Many of you are familiar with that interpretation. Did that on purpose so you would really understand what is felt to be read. The remaining, those who were not killed by the plagues, survivors of the demonic Calvary, the remaining men and women who weren't killed, went on their merry way, surprise you, didn't change their way of life. Here's a note. Didn't change their attitude toward God and didn't change their conduct. And listen to this last note. Please understand, opportunities to repent are rare. Please understand, opportunities to repent and to be saved are rare. Can you decide on your own to be saved? The Bible says you can't. It is impossible. Unless God first comes to you, unless the Holy Spirit comes to you and convicts your unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ, then you cannot be saved. Remember, you're saved by grace. What is grace? It is God doing for you what you cannot or never can do for yourself. So we see right here, if you have an opportunity to repent, to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross over 2,000 years ago and paid your sin debt in full. Remember, what is salvation? Oh, I've been taught salvation is to confess my sins, and you've heard me say this so many times, and I hope you can share it with others when they talk about this same subject. My friends, when it comes to Jesus Christ, He paid your sin debt in full. You owe nothing. There is nothing you can do to pay for your sins. Paid for in full. But we've been taught to confess our sins. I will say it again and again. You can't remember all your sins. I can't remember all my sins. It would be an incomplete confession. Is that correct? But Jesus Christ says you don't have to remember all your sins. I know you can't. I took care of it. I paid on the cross your sin debt in full. You owe me nothing. The only thing that will send a human being to hell is unbelief in Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, period. Non-negotiable. Do you get it? Thank you. The remaining men and women who weren't killed, went on their merry way, didn't change their way of life, didn't change their attitude toward God, didn't change their conduct, didn't realize that chances of being saved are dwindling very fast. They didn't quit worshiping demons, didn't quit centering their lives around lumps of gold and silver and brass and hunks of stone and wood that couldn't see or hear or move. There wasn't a sign of change of heart. They plunged right on in their murderous, occult, promiscuous, and thieving way. Turn to 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Here's how it reads. The Holy Spirit clearly says, and the Holy Spirit is God, listen to Him, that in latter times some will abandon the faith. That is the faith we read about in the Word of the living God. And follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So here's the question. What evil will mark the 7-year tribulation period? Number one, idolatry and worship of demons. Number two, demons brings suffering and pain and death to human beings. It dawned on me after reading this over and over. When you are involved in idolatry, you are worshiping demons. What else are you worshiping? You're worshiping suffering. You worship pain. And you worship death. Number three, false gods are nothing more than masks for demonic influence and power. I'll reread that. False gods are nothing more than masks of demonic influence and power. Number four, sin produces unbelievable blindness. You're reading about this in the judgments. They've seen all these judgments taking place and how horrible they are and how many people that are dying right in front of them and all over the world that they're hearing. But you know what? They come out of it blind, unchanged, unrepentant. Number five, murder will mark the 7-year tribulation period. Murder will mark the 7-year tribulation period. And number six, sorcery, occult practices, narcotic drugs will be rampant in the 7-year tribulation period. I'm going to ask you, are you saved? Yes. Are you going to take a chance and say, I can handle that 7-year tribulation period? That is a lie straight out of hell. You can't. We're talking about superhuman activity. We're talking about demonic activity that you cannot stand as an unbeliever. If you are saved, it will truly be by the grace of the living God during that time. You can be saved today during the age of grace, the church age. It is a lot easier to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today. It is easier today to call upon Him and say, I believe what the Bible has to say about you. I believe that you paid my sin debt in full. I accept that. And you know, Lord Jesus Christ, and I say this to myself when I pray all the time, Heavenly Father, I know what the Bible has to say about you and about Jesus, but I know there's a whole lot more. And I want to know more than what's in this Bible. This gets me jump-started. It gets me going. It gives me confidence. It gives me stability. But I know there is so much more to learn that is beyond the pages of the Word of the living God. I tell you, death is coming and hell is coming. And if you want to stand in the presence of death and hell, as demonic and hellish and fiendish as it is, and think you have any chance at all, again, it will be by the grace of Almighty God. If anybody is going to be saved, and they will be saved, but not as many as we would like. So I ask you today, the more I listen to what is taking place, China, Russia, United States of America, major players in the world that we live in, already talking about there's just got to be one of us that's going to rule and one of us that is going to reign. And who is it going to be? I have news for you and I have news for them. It won't be any of them. It will be the Antichrist himself. And at the right moment, as these four bad angels are standing there at the Euphrates River, they stand in readiness to hear that one voice, that sovereign voice of Almighty God. And then they're going to go into action. The Antichrist is waiting to hear that one sovereign voice that will cause him to go into action. And then sometime soon after the rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation is going to begin. And you can't stop the seven-year tribulation period. You can't stop the horror that is going to take place in the seven-year tribulation period. It is something you do not want to set your foot in at all. So I pray, come to Jesus. Come now. Accept His way of living, His way of life. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior, because after you die, it is too late. You won't get another chance. Look at these numbers. Open your mind. Sit and envision the population that is going to cease to exist little by little by little. Have you ever thought of this? 2 billion bodies or more? How will you bury them all? Will there be enough graves? Will there be enough funeral homes? But there will be enough stench that will fill your nostrils, hopefully to remind you of what is taking place. Most gracious Heavenly Father, it is a living, hellish nightmare, no doubt about it. None of us really want to be there. Some of us think we can handle it. Don't be deceived by Satan, please. For Satan destroys even his own. I pray, if there is a thought of the living God in your unsaved life, respond. Change. Repent. Let your unbelief be turned into belief in Jesus Christ. By the looks of this world and what's taking place in it, who knows how much time we have left? Could it be this afternoon? Could it be tonight? Sometime in the wee hours of the morning? Will I go to sleep and wake up in a different place? My friends, don't toy with this and don't put it off. If you're lost without Christ, the most important thing you can do at this moment in your life is come. Come quickly and say, I come accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or I'm coming to turn my life around. I want to learn to obey the Word of God, that God may bless me and my family, that I may be the Christian God is calling me to be, that I may share the Word of God with others and the joy that goes with it. Lord Jesus, whatever I need in my life at this moment, and you know what it is, to turn things around, to make things better, I pray, let it happen. Holy Spirit, come with it. Come with the things of God to the help of people. We ask this in Jesus' most beautiful, gracious, and holy, and ever-loving name. Amen and amen. Let's stand.